From APM, this is the Dinner Party Download. Back in 1966, at the height of his career, French filmmaker François Truffaut sat down with his hero Alfred Hitchcock and interviewed him about every film he'd ever made. That interview was transcribed into a book called Hitchcock Truffaut, and if you're a filmmaker, you've probably read it.
Now, there's a documentary about the making of that book and about the impact it had on directors like Martin Scorsese and Wes Anderson, both of whom appear in the film. It's called Hitchcock Truffaut, makes sense, and it's directed by Kent Jones. When I spoke to Jones this week, I asked when he first encountered the book.
Well, you know, in my movie, David Fincher talks about reading it as a boy and going over it again and again. And that was pretty much my experience, too. I was like 12, and I don't remember whether I bought it or whether somebody gave it to me, but it was something that I had with me at all times.
It is interesting because I encountered it as a young person, too. Mm-hmm. It's a pretty heady book. Mm-hmm. For someone of that age, what do you ascribe its draw to people of that age?
It doesn't. Well, first of all, it's got a lot of pictures.
That's true. By Philippe Halsman, one of the great photographers.
By Philippe Halsman, and also a lot of stills from movies. And so when you're that age, you know, if somebody says, hey, you should read a book, you'd be like, great. How many, where are the pictures? That's one thing, a lot of pictures. But also, I think it's not just Truffaut doing a book about Hitchcock. It's much more than that. He devoted as much time to this book as he did to, like, two movies. So he really constructed something that moves like a movie. Mm. I think it's a very unusual book in that way.
You feel the interview moves like a narrative, kind of?
I do. The editing has been done for concision, rhythm, unity. It's got a pace that's quite different from a book-length interview between a critic and a filmmaker.
You mentioned that it was edited. One of the things that I love about this film is that you actually hear outtakes from the original interview tapes of Hitchcock and Truffaut joking around. There's a point where Hitch is heard giving direction to Philippe Halsman about how to photograph them. What is your favorite of that stuff, the stuff that doesn't appear in the book?
I loved, well, first of all, just the tone of the conversation is really different from the book. Hitchcock, he's much warmer than he appears to be in the book. That moment that you're talking about is when Halsman comes in and, you know, they do the posed photographs. I love those moments.
Now, here we are, look, here's the angle. Now, I'm going to be like this, you see. Now, Mr. Truffaut should half turn around and look back to me. Regardez-moi. Otherwise, it might make us look like movie directors. And God forbid we ever look like that.
At the beginning of the movie, there's a quote from Truffaut that when he would tell interviewers early on in his career that Hitchcock was his favorite filmmaker, everybody seemed surprised.
Yeah.
Why do you think that is? Why were people surprised?
Because in the United States, they were used to seeing him as like a master entertainer, the master of suspense.
Hitchcock.
Yeah. The guy who did cameos, the guy who could deliver shocks and thrills on a Saturday night, and then you'd forget it. So, you know, Alfred Hitchcock, he's your favorite director? You, François Truffaut, the man who made Jules and Jim? Yes. And so he decided, okay, I need to do a book. And he had a goal in mind, and that goal was to prove to people and show them, really, that Hitchcock was a great artist and that he was foundational to the art of cinema.
Something we now all take for granted, of course. And actually, your movie really kind of uses the book as a jumping point to discuss the movies of Hitchcock with the help of interviews with a lot of filmmakers. Mm-hmm. And I was struck by how many of them have very strong memories or were very strongly influenced by Hitchcock's movie Psycho. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Psycho is that people know Psycho. They know the fact that, you know, what happens 35 minutes into the movie, the shower scene. But still, the shock of it when you're watching it remains, and that is that you are set up for something that is completely obliterated.
Yeah.
A woman steals money. She drives away, and you're just thinking about the money, and, you know, is she going to return the money? It's always there. What's she going to do? Is she going to return the money? And then suddenly, boom, that's all gone.
Yes, she's, spoiler alert, she's killed.
It's
the first half hour of the movie is setting up a story that cannot be paid off because she's killed.
Exactly. That's right. And, you know, Peter Bogdanovich in my film describes the uncanny experience of sitting there and watching that movie for the first time without knowing what was going to happen. And he said the audience was just dumbfounded.
And when that murder, that shower scene came, I've never seen an audience react like that. You could hear a sustained shriek from the audience downstairs. It wasn't like, it was like, like they wanted to close it out. They couldn't believe what happened. They kept thinking it couldn't have happened. She's going to be alive. It was every impulse that you have of going to movies. It was the first time that going to the movies was dangerous.
And Scorsese implies that basically that set up all filmmaking of the 60s.
Yeah, he's filmmaking of the 60s, but also setting the tone for the 60s and the shocks that were to come without knowing it. I mean, it's not like Hitchcock saying the 60s, I sense that the 60s are going to be bad. I want to set up a movie that's going to prepare people for it. Mm. Not quite, but things are in the air. Things happen. You know, he was catching something. And I mean, the same year, Michelangelo Antonioni made L'Avventura, and the heroine in that film disappears very early on, too.
That's interesting, though, but suddenly it's almost like filmmakers are aware that things are not as linear as they used to be.
Well, things are impermanent and subject to just changing and being obliterated, and Psycho really opened the door for a lot of things in movies.
So you've delved into Truffaut's book. You've spoken to all these filmmakers. What do you think is the essence of what compels them all to return to Hitchcock's movies again and again? What is the power of these films?
He's made movies that go so deep that they touch on things that are unnameable. The end of Vertigo, I wouldn't even know how to characterize it. What starts maybe as a suspense movie on paper becomes something very, very different. I mean, he goes where very few artists go, and I don't just mean movie makers. I mean, you know, all the arts.
Kent Jones, his new documentary, Hitchcock Truffaut, is in theaters now.